D2. Number 17A.
Now, with this vertical Christ sense, or the that vertical column of the Christ, I just indicated somehow how we can work on with that chart. If I say work with the chart, it's already not quite right. I mean, what it means, what that consciousness is, and by taking up that consciousness naturally through that identity principle, we are the Christ Cybernetha. You know, by the way, about the Cybernetha, which is a new term I coined. You know, always they said somehow that we have such a Cybernetha within us. They called it differently. Micah in the Old Testament said, have you no king in you? Have you no counselor in you? Hasn't he? See? So, at that time, a king was the most important thing and the most powerful thing and the most governing thing. Today, we don't like to have a king in us. We have quite enough with the kings that still exist. Not the queens, naturally. And so, why shouldn't we say, don't you have a divine Cybernetha in you? It's quite natural. That Christ, which is operating by itself. Yesterday, when we took the word vertical, I also showed how these synonymous terms are interwoven into each other when we take those levels as one. How in the word, the one life is at the same time the life, truth and love, and that one life as expressing itself as life, truth and love is really my mind, so that life, truth and love as the only life is my life, your life, the only life, that life, truth and love is my spirit, your spirit, the only spirit, there is no other spirit. And so we try to show also through Matthew, through the days of creation, and at the end just a little bit how we can make it general, that the structure really of Matthew is something which doesn't have anything to do with Jesus' life as shown in Matthew. That Jesus' life in Matthew was an exemplification, one exemplification of that structure which existed since time immemorial as life, truth and love showing itself forth as mine, therefore as the life of mine, the truth of mine, the love of mine, showing itself forth as life, truth and love, as spirit, as our spirit, your spirit, the only spirit there is. And it takes just that cultured sense of keeping to the chords so that the music begins to play within ourselves. It's too difficult, I find, to go over this with a big class, because that needs really a small class and class work. But it is that which really makes the Cybernetha work within ourselves by itself. And so also here we could see that taking the Christ vertical, that at that point where we come to the Christ order of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, that we begin to see that this is only a presentation of how the principle of everything translates itself to the point of view of mind. It's answering the how through the identity principle, through the extropy principle, and through the information principle of mind. But we can at once say, but why does that work? What is the impelling power behind that transforming or translating sense of principle to the point of idea. And then we must say, well, that principle takes its whole force or its whole power, its whole energy from the level above, from truth, life and love. So really, we begin to get a much more powerful sense and a much more impelling sense the moment we combine those levels. And see, it is not just principle which translates itself to the point of idea in mind through the order, but it is truth, life and love impelling principle to do it. That it was truth, life and love. Did I say so? Yeah. That it is truth, life and love which is the impelling power behind principle to go on to translate it. That it is truth, life and love, which is making life express itself as existence. It is truth, life and love, which is taking then truth and transform and transform and transform all the forms. Then it is truth, life and love, which as love makes the transformation universal. And then it is truth, life and love, which through the identity principle does actually translate everything of truth, life and love into forms and into identical and symbolizations. So really then symbolizations of that truth, life and love which soul gives and says, I awake in everything that identical, that analogous picture, that analogous situation which is identical with its spiritual origin. And so it is truth, life and love as spirit which then orders everything. How should spirit order unless it has behind itself that impelling power of truth, life and love? And so with mind, that it is really truth, life and love which as mind brings out that specific illumination, vision, clear insight which is necessary for the situation. So that, like in Mark, who is showing that structure through the life of Jesus again, Mark takes the same life of Jesus as Matthew, it wasn't another Jesus, but he had another sense of Jesus, and he has a right to have another sense. And so he took that spiritually and could see that it was truth, life and love in every step of those seven synonymous terms of the order, which were the instigating, the impelling, the motivating concept of it. But actually it goes, as I said, too far, and it is really something which has to be done in classwork, to feel one's way how that cord of truth, life and love works generally as principle, then as life, then as truth, then as love, then as soul, then as spirit, then as mind. It isn't just taking any concept or any so-called idea of truth, life and love and just building it into that order. It's always that cord, always that music which must be kept. But as I say, I don't want to stay on that, though this would really be the most important thing, I think, to culture. So let's go to Christianity, so that we get a little bit of everything today. We get Christianity, and there again we start out with the survey on the plane of divine science, where we have Christianity as that which brings self-fulfillment through the vertical column then. In divine science, this self-fulfillment is the one mother which is always content within itself. It's a symbol for that all contentment, of that infinite self-containment and self-contentment within itself, which doesn't ask questions. I think it's a big thing if we realize that we ask too many questions, much too many. We are bombarded. We are so-called teachers in this Christian Science idea. We are bombarded with questions. And I get so sick of it. Because I say, why does he ask me or she ask me? How can I know? I can't know it any other way but to go to God. And he has the same way. He's just as far away from God as I am. So really, the only thing inwardly one can feel is, go out from principle. Don't ask questions. Go out from principle. And stay there. And see that if we go out from the I am, from the I am in science, then Christianity says in divine science, I am all in all. I am that self-content mother, that infinite embracement where there is nothing to be queried, nothing for whys and buts and ifs and hows. It is just that one mother which has nothing to achieve, which doesn't have to go anywhere, which doesn't want to go anywhere. In divine science, where there is a oneness, that thought falls right out that we have to get anywhere, that we have to set an aim. As I've told you yesterday, so often I set myself an aim and then I can't do it. Because divine science says, I want you to do what I want you to do, and not what you want to do I'm going to fulfill. The one being says, I'm self-content. There is nowhere to go. There is nothing to achieve. There is no aim to arrive at. It's all within the infinite all in all. We have that all-embracing all in all. And it must be considered properly, you see, that all has a capital A. It isn't a small a. All in all. Christianity is all of that, all in all with a small a. But the bigger sense is to see that the all is in all, small a. That the whole is always in every detail. It is only our atomistic thinking which has difficulty to grasp this, because we have that atomistic sense of splitting up the infinite in tiny little dots. And then naturally it is completely unreasonable to think that that little tiny little dot contains the all. See, that is impossible, because we have started wrongly. We have started by splitting up the infinite into tiny little atoms. This is wrong. But that's how our classical logical mentality has been educated, and which the hippies don't accept. Those hippies are not just hippies. They are just somehow feeling something, that something is wrong with our classical education of splitting the whole into parts and parts and parts until you are a specialist who only knows a lot about little, until you know all about nothing. That's what happens. This is this atomizing process that is going on in knowledge. Atomizing knowledge and knowledge. Until you are an expert on some flies and know all about the special kind of a fly, how they breed and so on. And you live then as a specialist on a certain kind of fly in a universe where so much goes on. How can you orientate yourself in that universe? No more possible. That's the atomizing of it. Divine science, Christianity here, would save us from that. It builds a consciousness which is all-embracing. And therefore we see that the all can be in all, because that small all is not an atom, not a point, not a dot in the infinity, but is an idea of the infinite. And an idea has neither place, has neither time nor space. The idea is the answer to 2,500 years of false scientific logical education, splitting infinity into parts by Democritus and round about the time where they started. Here we see that this all in all is all encompassing. We have there in the survey the coexistence of principle and idea. It's the coexistence where principle and idea is one. It is not that coexistence which we have in the world. You see, that's the difficulty. We use terms in a new sense in Christian Science, not in the old sense. Just as we use the term establishment today in a way it was not used 20 or 30 years ago. It's the same term used 30 years ago, but today you talk, oh, that establishment, all about the establishment. But you mean something which 20 years ago was not meant by the establishment. Words change in their meaning, in their use, and so is coexistence. Well, who has coined coexistence? That was, I think, Khrushchev or any of one of these top people I think it was Khrushchev, said, we can coexist, but that coexistence was not a coexistence. It was existing next to the other, not together. It was next existing here, and then a wall in Berlin, and then afterwards another existence. It wasn't coexistence, where existence falls together. So when we talk about principle and idea coexist, naturally we may think, oh yes, principle exists, and next to it, idea exists. And we have the Berlin Wall, you see. So let's see that coexistence, according to the dictionary, as it meant here, means existing at the same place, at the same time, in the same measure, everything nicely fitted together, interwoven into one principle, just being another standpoint than idea. It is that point where we begin to see that nothing really exists as idea unless it has a principle. So that every idea that comes to us and is seen is always an idea coexistent with its principle. And therefore we say, well, the power of an idea is the power of the infinite one, the substance of an idea is the substance of the infinite one, the intelligence of the idea is the intelligence of the infinite one. You see, that's coexistence, because we see the idea as the idea of principle. We have here also the divine ego, because Mrs. Eddy says that in this scientific reflection, the ego and the Father are one, that there is not an ego me and an ego God, but there is just one ego. And that ego is the ego principle and is the ego idea. Therefore, the ego God and the ego man is one ego, one I. So there, I don't feel that I'm one among many things, many, many others. It's always the all in all. Looked at it from the point of view of the synonymous term, we have here love. All this tone which we have been considering can be symbolized by the symbol love as one love, as John Dolly showed us. Therefore, at this point, we have not many aspects of love. We have not those positive aspects of love. Of love which says, God loves me, God loves you, I love God, I love my neighbor, the neighbor loves me, I love the enemy. That is not love here. It's one love, which is not split up in many positive loves, aspects of loves, where we see being itself is just love, one love. That is, that being itself is just one self-contained, self-fulfilled, self-perfect state of being. Perhaps we could express it that way. That really, that God is love to himself. That's love. That love is that which loves love. That's love. That does not know to love something, some situation, or is love to a condition, but is love to itself. That's a higher sense of love. Love, loving love, capital L. Just as we had in life, life demonstrating life. Didn't demonstrate anything in the way of life, small l. Life, Mrs. Edis says, life, capital L, demonstrates life, capital L. See? That's divine science. So love, loving love. That's the great sense of love. Love being conscious of itself as complete, as fulfilled, as perfect, as all-embracing, as all-encircling, as self-contained, self-fulfilled, all that is a sense of that one love. That love which is the self-protection of itself, which does not need protecting, which does not protect. We feel, oh, I would like to be under the protection of love. Well, that's fine, that's all right. But on this level, we are far above that sense of having to be protected by love. Because love does not know anything but herself, love. And so needs no protection because there is no accuser. There is no red dragon there to defy it. Then, from that level, we come to absolute Christian science. We begin to realize on the survey that in absolute Christian science, this one all-in-all begins to reflect itself as all, small l. Here it is no more all in all, but the all reflecting itself in all. See, now we come to that sense that, again, somehow our logical human reasoning has to be satisfied, corrected, set aright, and say, you know, this all-embracing love is taking care of every situation. Therefore, it reflects in every situation life, truth, and love. There is no dot in the universe of infinity which is not reflecting life, truth, and love. You see, that term reflection has always been a bit a difficult symbol in Christian science. And Mrs. Eddy tried to show what she meant by reflection with that mirror and so on. And naturally this leaves quite a wrong impression, usually. Namely, reflection means that a light that goes out is thrown back, reflect, thrown back to itself. Naturally, in being there is no reflection. Nothing can be thrown back because nothing leaves anything. The infinite cannot leave itself in a way and project something outside which is then thrown back to itself. So reflection is already a concession to the human understanding to understand really the higher sense, the overformed sense of reflection, namely reflex. In divine science, the all-in-all is the reflex. It is love reflecting on itself. It's love knowing itself as what it is. Love, loving love. But that is a reflex. It's not throwing back anything, because it never gets away from its origin. But the moment we go to absolute Christian science, it is that we have to reason from cause to effect, from principle to its effect, from mind to idea. Because that alone is adapted to the scientific age which wants to reason from principle to idea. Deduction from principle to the specific. And this is here then explained as reflection, showing that that which the impulsion of life throws out as a newness of life is not really being thrown out of itself, but that it must be considered as coming back to itself again. so that we don't lose the unity and oneness of being. It is demonstration of life, truth, and love which we get here. Demonstration in the sense that one principle is manifesting itself, proving itself in every situation. So here, because it's a universal sense, we get that sense, yes, that one love, translated to the plane of absolute Christian Science, gives us the sense that that one love is demonstrated everywhere. And here we get, naturally, the love of God to men, the love of men to men, all the various idea of love, all the various facet of the idea of love. When I was talking the other day about idea, and that really Mrs. Eddy doesn't say not once really that this or this term is an idea of mind or spirit or soul, that she never says that power is the idea of mind or of spirit or of soul. She has only one sentence which could give an indication of something like this. Namely, she says, to love one another as oneself is a divine idea. See? But this is not an atomic sense of idea. She doesn't say love is an idea. She says, love one another as yourself is an idea. This is a structure of love. Because in order to have that idea, that divine idea, you need a whole structure. You first have to love yourself. Then you have a relationship to another one. It's already a relationship. Another one whom you have to love as yourself. So you have relationship already, and already a sense of infinite measurement of love. So there, again, we can see that though it is, as far as I know, the only statement in the textbook which calls something an idea, you see, is already structure. It involves already a whole interchange and whole knowledge. What is an idea? What means loving one's self? Loving one's self needs the whole Christianity order in order to know what that is. Loving the other needs whole relationship to another idea. And so we can see here in Absolute Christian Science, where she speaks about the demonstration of life, truth, and love, that love is always expressed as infinite ideas of love and demonstrated as infinite ideas of love. Love one another, love of God, love of beauty, love of companionship, love of relationship, love and love and love and love and love, infinite varieties of love. We always also have here the compound idea. It is showing that because life, truth, and love are expressing themselves in infinite ideas of life, truth, and love, that therefore there is no isolated idea. That the all-embracing one love on divine science takes them together and says, whatever that expression is, it is always a compound. It's always a structure in itself already.